Good morning. Welcome to Matinaire on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am sitting in for Jane Matinaire, who is on vacation for the next 2 weeks. So you got me, but not just me today.
No.
We've also got Calvin Butenhoff on the boards. Sweet Cal B, the board lord, all of the nicknames that he loves. Cal, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm just kind of a ever-present thing on the show, so you can always count on me.
C-note.
Oh, boy. And that voice you hear right now is comedian, person who knows all the persons, and friend, Amy Westrup.
That's me.
Who will be my co-host, my guest co-host for the entire show today. And then a couple days down the road, we'll be doing it again. But
yeah.
We welcome you, Amy, to the show. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Excellent. Happy
Thanks
to be
for having me in.
It's great to have you on the show.
Thank
you. And we're going to be having a great one today. We're going to be talking to Dan Schaefer at 10:33. He's still in Chicago. He was reporting live at the DNC for the past couple of days. He was also at the rally in Milwaukee where Governor Walz and now official DNC Democratic candidate for president Kamala Harris was there as well. But he will be talking about all the great things he's seen this week. He is, as we know, the founder of the multi-award-winning website, The Recombobulationary. He'll be here at 10:33. And then at 11:06, Sean Fetplace, who is the campaigns director for Main Street Alliance and the Main Street Alliance Action Fund, will be joining us as well to give us an overview of his experience at the DNC this week in Chicago.
We've
been inundated with political festivities.
Well, it's great because I had not paid attention to most politics for about 8 years. I used to be super politically active.
Yeah,
Then when Trump was elected, I tuned out. I couldn't handle it, honestly. So now I'm reinvigorated.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, what were your takeaways from what you saw this week from what happened in Chicago?
Well, First of all, I got to go to the rally on Tuesday.
That was pretty cool.
Which was fantastic.
And you want to get close to that microphone.
I think I broke your microphone.
You didn't break the microphone. You're fine.
It's just really...
Getting close. There you
getting
go.
Getting close.
Perfect.
There we go. How do I sound now?
Wonderful.
Fantastic. So we got to go on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
It was very well organized.
Yeah.
It was just a beautiful cross-section of humanity.
Yeah.
About 18,000 people, standing room only, all the way up to the rafters. And... it was the energy. It was just pure joy.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was friendly. Everyone was happy. But it felt like everyone just took a big collective exhale.
Yeah.
Like they had been holding their breath for a very, very long time.
Absolutely. There was a sense of relief. And I've been saying this since Kamala announced that she had the endorsement of Joe Biden, but even more so because it was brought up by Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota, mm-hmm. there's that sense of joy. And by the way, of course, if you were at the rally on this week or at the DNC or you have thoughts on the DNC, feel free to give us a call, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can also email us, janesays@civicmedia.us. Or you can download the free Civic Media app, text us or call us through that app. It's all the same number. You can text us. Let us know what you thought of it. Let us know your experiences if you had any. But yeah, I absolutely agree. There's an absolute sense of joy and fun. And it's just, it's a good time too. I mean, the DNC this week was a party. It was a real party.
Oh my God. It was so exciting. It was so fun to watch. It was really well produced.
Mm-hmm.
The energy was palpable, and just the creativity in it. You really sense that they were bringing it back to every type of person.
Yes.
Right. And it was so inclusive of everyone. And it was just lovely. I had a number of friends down there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was getting a lot of, live texting from down on the floor and various parts of the United Center. And that place is huge.
Yes.
I mean, if you've ever seen a sporting match or anything down there at the United Center, it is massive. And it was just packed to the gills. And knowing that the Fiserv, we packed that as well on
mm-hmm.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
That was really something. Whoever planned that, brilliant.
Oh,
brilliant strategy.
Yeah. I mean, so from what I understand, we got an email from their campaign giving the final number in Milwaukee was 18,000, which is capacity with a concert with no seats. So 18,000 plus 21,000 at the United Center that night. So, nearly 40,000 people gathering in two places for one event is a pretty big deal. And last night, you know, no stop of great speakers. You had, oh my gosh, you had Adam Kinzinger was there. We'll talk about him in a little bit. We had, who else? We had a wonderful drum line. I turned it on right when that was happening.
So did I.
It was absolutely wonderful. Gretchen Whitmer gave a great speech. I mean, that woman just does not quit. And you are a Michigan lady.
I'm a Michigan gal. So yeah. I'm from Ann Arbor. And we are very proud of the governor. And she is an extraordinary human being. She's wonderful. And just, her energy is incredible. And she's just, she's a bad lady.
Bad, there it is.
It's wonderful.
She did the same thing too last night, where she says, "We get stuff done."
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But, you know, I mean, as far as I know, and I don't think this is a rumor, but she for a moment was considered on the shortlist for VP.
Yeah.
And she stepped away, and I think it was because she's like, she wanted to worry about what's going on in her state right now. And
there's a lot of stuff going on in Michigan.
That's a humble thing to do, because a lot of people, you know, when you get into politics, especially to that governor's level, the Congress, Senate, it's not unheard of for you to maybe want the top seats.
Well, of course, I think that selflessness is the overarching theme of the Democratic platform right now, from Biden on down. And I think Kelly, he was on the short list, of course.
Yes. Yep.
And I think that some of the reason he was not chosen is because of the, in Arizona, like if he leaves, then I believe there's a special election. I'm not sure, but the Senate seat would have been up.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just too valuable.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
But I like her pick. I like Walz. I thought he was fantastic when he showed up in Milwaukee on Tuesday. Man, I thought it was like the speech from the gold medal, like Olympic speech for hockey, you know, and it was just absolutely incredible.
Well, and that thing with Walz has really opened up that people seeing the beauty and the wonderfulness of being Midwestern, you know, that just that notion, you know, I'm not saying people from California or either coast or the South aren't nicer, but the, you know, Midwesterns have a flavor about us.
We're not braggadocious people.
We
don't lead with our egos.
Oh my gosh. If you were, try giving a Midwesterner a compliment.
Oh no.
It's
broken eye contact immediately.
No thing. Oh, it's fine. No. I'm just doing what I needed to do. I gotta go mow someone else's lawn.
I don't know if you heard this, but Walz actually stayed after and cleaned up all of the balloons after he didn't, but I think that he would have.
But if you said that to people are like, that makes sense. He's from Minnesota.
Totally. Yeah. He had his own push broom. He brought it with him. He has it with him.
You guys have been working really hard. Go home early tonight. It's fine. I got this.
Exactly.
Me and the kids will stick back and we'll clean it up.
We love doing
this. Yeah. So overall, I mean, just from a production standpoint and an entertainment, and that was one of the things that made me really wince a little at people's criticisms. Like, well, no, it just seems like a big old party. Yeah. It's a cool party. Yeah, it's a super cool party. It's a party for them to announce the platform and to get all the mega fans together and then disseminate. Is that what you felt, Calvin? Were you upset that it was so entertaining that it was just too entertaining?
No, I mean, it was awesome how entertaining it was. I think I'm going to be a little crotchety. I think there was some questionable people who were invited is from the social media landscape, like,
oh, all the influencers.
Yeah. And I don't have any problem with
to speak or just to be there. Sorry.
To be there. And I don't have a problem with them being there, I guess. And I would appreciate those influencers who speak on politics being there.
Yeah.
But there was just some really random ones. Like, this person does not, like, they've never spoken about politics. They never heard them care about politics. And it's was a little odd.
Yeah.
One of them has, I think she's like a fashion influencer, but she has like 1.6 million followers.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, those are 1.6 million potential votes from younger voters, in theory, that will go out and vote. So I get it. I thought it was a good play, but I hear, I don't know who half of them were. but yeah.
I get it. It's funny, Calvin is both our resident young person and our crotchety old man. You fill both roles well, and I enjoy that about you.
I try my best.
Well, but here's the thing. Those influencers have more followers or viewers, let's say, than NBC, ABC, and CBS.
Absolutely.
And CNN. So it's just, I mean, nobody even, half these people don't own a TV anymore. It's everything on their phone and everything else. So I like the playlist for the roll call. I thought that was great. That's out on Spotify. That's great.
I'm surprised that no one did that before, you know, like, I don't want to get too like judgmental about it, but it'll be interesting to see in 2028 what the RNC does to, because they'll adopt some of those things. They'll probably have a little more excitement.
Hulk Hogan sing.
Oh, yeah, well,
it'll be great.
Frankly, Hulk, he's been on my list for a while, and what he said about Kamala Harris at some bar while being wasted this week is just even more so bad. But like, what they'll try to understand, like, well, this is what the kids like, and it's going to be, you know, Pat Boone. He's not alive anymore, but that's just the name that popped out of my head.
Yeah, I haven't listened to Pat Boone since 78.
Because the race is on now on the entertainment side of those types of, because they have to bring in viewers too. Networks don't have to run every single moment of those conventions either. They can choose to do what they want, and they may say, like, you get 1 hour a night, make it work. But this year they really and honestly, from viewership, both conventions did well.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, but from the back to the music for a second. My daughters are 23 and 21 and, they were talking about, the playlist and everything. And then, one of them said, have you ever seen any of the feeds where, Kamala goes to the vinyl shop?
Yeah.
And I haven't seen them yet, but she goes to different vinyl shops on campaign stops and goes and gets, different vinyls and talks about those choices. So I think she's touching on a lot of really, popular things right now and really trying to engage younger voters, which is great and needed because they were absent. Atrophied.
Absolutely. We're going to keep the conversation going when we return from a much needed break, because I need some water. Amy needs some water. And we're going to snack too while we're at
it. So
do the same for yourself. Stay hydrated. Stick around. Stay close. When we come back, more about the DNC on Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach, and you are listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is on vacation for the next couple weeks. We have Amy Westrup here, special guest host. And we have Calvin Butenhoff on the board, the board lord, sweet Cal B. And we open this part of the show with a clip of the Chicks singing the national anthem at the DNC last night. And it was amazing. It was goosebumpery. It was...
Goosebumpery.
You're welcome. Yeah. It was so good because, and hopefully we'll play more of it as we get out of the segment, but it had a melancholy to it, but didn't make it sad.
Yeah, it's very deferential.
Exactly. And it had, like, because, you know, when you go to a sporting event or you go to any event where they're just trying to be star-spangled, blue denim, awesome, it's as big as possible. And this was so understated. And there was a sense of, like, I don't know.
It was really poignant.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That was great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's like up there with Goosebumpery.
But I brought this version up because I wanted to talk about with you the speech of former Congressman Adam Kinzinger, who is a Republican who left Congress because he was disgusted with where the GOP was going as far as in power in Washington. And we talked about this with Todd yesterday on the show when he was here. His proclamation at the beginning of his speech was saying, Democrats are as patriotic as Republicans. And I think that was an important thing to say because, and we talked about this earlier as well, somehow the Republicans have co-opted patriotism and the flag and America in its most branded sense for themselves, and to the point where, and I've seen this on videos, it's like you can tell a person's politics by whether or not they have an American flag on their house. And that's, to me, wrong. And
absolutely wrong.
When we moved into our house in Kenosha, someone actually, our good friend, Joel Driesang, sent me an article about why Democrats need to fly the flag more. And at the time when I read it, I was I feel like then I'm making a statement too. And it was too much. But now, honestly, watching this week, I'm like, I think I want to have a flag on my house. And
we've had a flag on our house for forever.
Yeah.
We're on our third flag. Because they do get worn out. Interestingly, we fly two flags. We fly a Canadian flag and an American flag because we are dual citizens.
Exactly.
And a gentleman recently came up to my door, knocked on my door, and said, "Why do you have a Canadian flag?" And I said, "Oh, well, because I'm Canadian and I'm a dual citizen. That's why
we have a spy for the queen."
For the queen. Yeah, the king. But I'm the spy for the premier of Quebec. No, it was interesting, though, but it started a very interesting conversation with a gentleman I didn't know, by the way. He lives at the end of the block. I've never met the man. But he said, "Oh, I didn't know that. And I'm glad to see that you're flying flags." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Yeah, we've always flown an American flag. We just replaced ours because it needed to be replaced. It was worn out and it had a tear in it. And we didn't have it up for about a week. And my husband was scrambling to get a new flag and get it up by the 4th of July."
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, what's the hurry?" And he said, "I don't want anyone to think that by not flying the flag that we aren't patriotic people or that we're making a statement. We've always flown one."
Yeah.
And I don't like that the flag has become weaponized.
Absolutely.
So if I fly a flag, you assume I'm a Republican or you assume I'm something. And it's just no, it's the flag.
Yeah.
I have the utmost respect for the flag. Interestingly, Donald Trump last night, recently just wanted to have a law enacted that would put anyone in jail that burnt the flag.
Yes,
demonstrating their right. But he's brought it back. And all I can think of is, I watch the RNC. I've been to a ton of rallies across the board of every kind. And, people paint their bodies with the American flag. Mm-hmm. They wear them as chaps. And it's nobody finds that offensive. I don't find it offensive. It's your flag.
Yeah.
I don't think you should be destroying it for the sake of destroying it. But it's just come on.
Well,
did you look at your crowd?
And to get technical about it, too, there aren't laws, but there are ethics on how to display the flag.
And there's a code?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. And so, I don't have a problem if someone wants to wear an American flag hat, like a cowboy hat that's the American flag. That doesn't bother me as much. And that notion of burning the American flag, there needs to be a law or a constitutional amendment. First of all, it's not such an epidemic that it needs, and that's literally coming from an episode of The West Wing I watched where they talked about this. There's no epidemic of flag burning that requires a law. Also,
no.
There is a point to be made, and you can at me, you can call, you can text. There is a point to be made that burning the American flag in certain contexts is a act of patriotism and free speech, and they're right. So
actually, if you need to dispose of your American flag,
yes.
I learned this because ours had a rip in it.
Yeah.
You don't throw it away.
Correct.
You go to a VFW hall and they will burn it for you.
Yes.
And that is what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what you should do. I mean, people died for our country. People out of respect for the flag and our country in general. So it's just I have the utmost respect. I got goosebumps last night when the drumline came in, and there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people holding the American flag, and waving the American flag, and it was awesome.
I think someone may have said backstage before this whole thing happened, and I think it was a great move. What was, we are going to be outwardly USA, outwardly American flag. We are going to be patriotic because we are patriotic. And, if you are, I think it's a spectrum as far as patriotism, what you define as patriotism, but no one owns patriotism. No one can say that you're not a patriot if you feel a certain way. there are uncomfy feelings I have about this country on various topics, but it doesn't diminish the love I have for this country. You can love it as I believe Tom said yesterday, love this country, warts and all, of course. And to see that someone put up a meme of the RNC versus the DNC, and it was the DNC had a bunch of people holding signs that said USA, and the RNC had a bunch of signs that said mass deportation.
Yeah.
Now I'm not going to say that the people at the RNC aren't patriotic, but
you want to
inspire America. You want to inspire like excitement. Just waving that flag and waving the sign that says USA and feeling that energy, to me, that does more for the movement than pushing agendas which make people say, like, maybe you don't want me here.
Look, after 9/11, everybody went out and bought a flag. I mean, it literally, who didn't hang a flag? And it brought the world together. It brought America together, excuse me. And it changed the American landscape. And then somewhere they decided that, no, you can't have the American flag out there. It binds us all together. That's why there are 50 stars on it representing every state and every person in every state. So it was great to see last night. It was really goosebumpery. As you said earlier. And I loved it. It was wonderful.
Well, we're going to keep the DNC talk alive and well with a guest coming up. Dan Schaefer is going to be joining us from the Recombobulation area. He was down there in Chicago all week, but feel free to call us 855-752-4842 or text us at the same number. Let us know what you thought of the DNC. Let us know what you think about what we're talking about. I got Amy Westrup here as well as Cal B behind the board. Don't go anywhere. Dan Schaefer coming up. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am filling in for Jane Matt and Air while she is on vacation, but I am joined by the effervescent Amy Westrup.
Hello.
And the always young Calvin Butenhoff behind the boards. And we have yet another fantastic individual joining us. He is the founder of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation area, which you can find on what's called the internet. You can subscribe and read amazing pieces that gets all sorts of accolades. I told Amy, I was like, we're having Dan Schaefer. I'm like, I don't know if I know him. I said, the Recombobulation area. She goes, oh!
Oh, yeah.
So, Dan Schaefer, welcome to the show. How are you, friend? How is Chicago? Oh, I think you're on mute.
We're in Chicago for the DNC. It was a late night last night writing a column after I got back to my Airbnb after the speech last night. But what a week. What a week here in Chicago.
Yeah. And you had double duty, really. You went to the rally in Milwaukee, and then you also went to the DNC. So what were your takeaways from the week as far as, like, you know, we know it was entertaining, but there was some power in those speeches. And what were your takeaways on what you saw here this week?
Yeah, I think let's start with Kamala Harris's speech last night, because I thought it was really an outstanding speech and really met the moment in a lot of ways. I was on the convention floor for that speech last night. I was on the convention floor for Tim Walz's speech. Going back to the RNC, I was on the floor for J.D. Vance's speech and Donald Trump's speech. And I think the energy that you felt with Kamala Harris on stage, that trumped them all. And I think the energy that people have in the Democratic Party right now, the energy that people have around Harris at the top of the ticket is just remarkable. And she's only, you know, she's been running for president for less than 35 days.
Yeah.
And to be at this moment, after this, frankly, very discombobulating summer in American politics, had to get that one in there for you, Greg.
I love it. Never stop.
And to cap it off with a speech like that, I thought, you know, in so many ways, it really struck the right tone. It was the right message. And I think, you know, I highlighted this in the column that I wrote last night, but she had a quote kind of at the end of her speech that really stuck with me. And in those closing remarks, she talked about how it is the greatest privilege on earth, the privilege and pride of being an American. And I think those, you know, patriotic themes that you all were talking about here they kind of can ring hollow in certain senses. Maybe they did a little bit at the RNC, but talking about the privilege and responsibility of being an American and of preserving that democracy and freedom of this country, I think brings it all together, because that patriotism, that the hollow flag waving that you might see might not matter the same, but I think recognizing the privilege that it is to be here and the responsibility that it is to preserve this democracy for future generations, I think really tied the whole night together. And you know, just again, in contrast to the RNC, Donald Trump's speech was this 90-minute marathon that was just ended in this rambling, chaotic nonsense, you know, and I think that kind of encapsulated the whole RNC. You had it start with this kind of striking moment with the assassination attempt, and then it's just devolved into the usual MAGA madness, and then the Donald Trump stand-up improv hour at the very end of it. And it's just such a stark contrast to the Harris campaign, the DNC, that was just seemingly firing on all cylinders and just bringing this message home in a really profound way.
And, you know, one thing that can be said about the RNC as well is when you have the convention, you usually enjoy a good bump. Your VP is announced. You've got a lot of cameras on you. And that's when you take that energy to the streets and bring that message, because now the platform is decided. And that's the thing, though. The past month of campaigning after the RNC has been a reflection of what happened at the RNC, which is rambling, not a lot happening, low energy. J.D. Vance just cannot seem to not be uncomfortable at any point in public. So it'll be interesting to see how they gather this magic in a bottle after the DNC and take this to the streets, because now it's 73 days and they're going to get their surrogates out. I don't even know. Like, do they even have surrogates right now, the RNC or the Republican Party? I don't feel like anyone but J.D. Vance and Donald Trump are campaigning.
Ron Johnson's out there quite a bit. People listen to him, unfortunately. You know.
Yeah.
J.D. Vance is out there struggling to find a way to buy a donut. And then you have the Democrats ready. I think, you know, Tim Walz's speech from Wednesday night, I think, was really the call to action of this convention, because he, you know, they brought out the Coach Walz sign. And he talked about, you know, playing through the final minute, running through the tape, all the metaphors about leaving it all on the field and everything you might be. So I think, you know, I saw a number of tweets after that one of people saying they're ready to run through the wall for Coach Walz. And so I think that is the kind of motivator that we're going to see. And so we'll have Tim Walz as that coach motivator, run through the tape messaging that we'll have throughout these, you know, in campaign events in the coming weeks and what have you, and Kamala Harris bringing it home with that message about, you know, protecting that privilege and responsibility of being an American, and just really kind of showcasing that vision for the future, and having the kind of the next chapter, the next American chapter, really kind of being front and center in her campaign and being very forward looking and talking about, you know, the chant that has kind of rung out throughout the week from her speeches. And this was one of the biggest applause lines in Milwaukee. And it kind of started organically at that campaign rally in West Dallas with people chanting, "We're not going back." And I think that's going to be a big part of that message too.
I couldn't agree with you more. I watched it. It was about 38, 40 minutes long tops, I think, her speech, start to finish. And it was kind of a slow burn at first, right? She did a lot of recap of her history and her story, which for somebody that watched all four nights, I was like, wow, they're recapping a lot. But then I realized, took a step back, and I'm like, the whole world is watching this. And there are a lot of people that tuned in last night that hadn't watched anything.
Yeah.
They only tuned in for that. So that was her opportunity to be like, just in case you haven't met me over the last 4 days, this is who I am.
Yeah.
And she was absolutely brilliant. It was a slow burn, and then it ignited. And I mean, people in my house who were in other rooms, there was a moment where they walked in, they're like, oh my gosh, she's really putting it down. And it was amazing. It was like opening arguments and closing arguments at the end. And it was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I was so thoroughly impressed, and it was delivered so well. Her cadence was just remarkable. Yeah. And her focus, yes, there were teleprompters, but she was directly in the camera, straight ahead.
To us.
She was straight ahead talking to us, not bobbing and weaving around. And it was fantastic.
I know this may sound like a dumb question to ask because we saw it on television and through your reporting and other people too, but like being on the ground, Dan, walking around the people, talking to the people, just, I mean, it just was pure energy, I have to imagine, right?
It really was. And, you know, it was like, at certain points, you're just getting like knocked in the head with these placards and people are so crowded and jumping up and down that it's like, you know, it felt like I was at a concert. There was no concert last night, but I felt like I was at one.
A lot of rumors.
A lot of ways anyway, yeah. during that speech. And Amy, I think you're absolutely right about the story arc that she told to the American public with this speech too, because like you said, there's of course a lot of that throughout the week, looking back at her history as a prosecutor and attorney general and what have you. But I think that family story she told and the personal history of, you know, her mother coming to the country and them growing up middle class in the Bay Area, I think that was a really important part of the speech too. Because, you know, again, this campaign hasn't been going on that long. And yeah. So people really need to understand you know, that personal story of it. And then also I think one of the parts of the speech that really resonated, I think, especially in person too, was the for the people part of her, you know, talking about how she was always standing for the people and her only client was the people. And I think that was one of those things that people just really kind of, one of those lines that people really reacted to and really resonated in the room. And I think that, you know, for that audience, for that moment, for people who are only perhaps tuning in that one night of the convention. I think that's a really important part to be in that speech too.
I said, talking about her prosecutorial days, she humanized that role for people. I mean, the legal system is so intimidating.
Yeah.
And as like Hughley got up and said, like, I didn't know, I didn't know. I just made these gross assumptions about what prosecutors do. She brought it to everyone and said, this is what I did. This was my job. Mm-hmm. This is how I did it and why I did it and why I'll continue to do it. And it was awesome.
And for the speeches too, you think about it, you know, you have Tim Walz and you have Kamala Harris, you have JD Vance and Donald Trump. JD Vance and Donald Trump doing what you do in speeches, that they speechified, they did their thing, talked about their topics and, you know, but with Governor Walz and Vice President Harris, there was an extra layer of not just like why they should be president and vice president, but also this sense of service. They have been in service.
Yeah.
You know, Kamala has been a district attorney general, vice president, senator. That's service. Tim Walz in the military. JD Vance was in the military as well. I'm not taking anything away from that, but you know, Governor Walz is in the military. He's a teacher. He's a congressman. He's a governor. It's about service. And that's what I got from their speeches. We are in service to you, the people. And that's what the message that seems, Dan, that really got across to them yesterday as well.
I thought it'll inspire. Go ahead, Dan.
So yeah, I think service to the people, absolutely. But also service to the people and service to the country and about something that is bigger than any one person. Mm-hmm. And I think that is certainly something you did not see at the RNC, what it was so much about. Oh, one person.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's an important part of it too. And I, you know, JD Vance's speech, I think the personal story that he told too, I think that really resonated in the room too. I mean, it's a best-selling book, right? So it's not a story that people can't connect with at all or anything, right? But I think for Harris and for Walz too, especially having his football team, his state championship football team join him on stage. The moment with his son was just so remarkable. You know, I think that people are just really seeing the authenticity of these candidates too in a lot of different ways. And, you know, and another one that I think stood out to me, and I don't know how this played for the folks watching on TV. I thought Kamala Harris's sister gave a great speech too.
Yep.
I really enjoyed that one. And it just, you know, gave another perspective on her too. And I just, you know, I have two daughters and it just makes me think of like two sisters growing up together, you know? So, yeah.
I thought, her speech and Walz's speech, also will inspire people to throw their hat in the ring for office.
Yes.
On a local level.
Yeah.
You know, like I've been talking to friends. It's like, maybe that village trustee job is something I might be interested in, or, you know, it, because here's a teacher that did that. His students came to him and said, you know, you should run for this office. It never occurred to him to do that. So it's just like, there are people watching that going, you know, I've always had that little thought in the back, I could do this. And that is really something, because that's what we need. We need people on those, on the local level, to get involved, and young people and people of from everywhere.
Yeah. So many times it seemed that the, those positions of power are coveted for the elite or the rich. And, you know, that's
Like I didn't go to law school. I can't do that.
Exactly. But
like, don't have to.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that does inspire. I even thought about too, when I watched Coach Wall's talk, I was like, do I want to run for like common council one day? Who knows? So
I just want to be a football coach. Get back to coaching.
We're going to keep the conversation going with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. When we get back, we're going to talk more about the DNC and what we got coming up in the next few weeks of this election. There are only 73 days left. Do not forget, folks, make sure you are registered to vote. Go to myvote.wi.gov, where you can find out your registration, your ballot, your polling place. We're going to be joining back with Dan Schaefer in a moment. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I'm guest hosting for, I'm filling in for Jane while she is on vacation. We hope she's vacating, she's relaxing and having a good time. We are also joined by my guest host, co-host friend, Amy Westrup.
Hello.
Cal B is behind the boards, but we also are coming back to Mr. Dan Schaefer, founder of the Recombobulation area. Dan has just been giving us a nice overview of what's been going on at the DNC this week as he was there in Chicago. Dan, anything else to report? Anything fun, cool, amazing happened while you were there? I know you were there from Wednesday until, you were there Wednesday and yesterday, correct?
Yep. Yeah, I was here 2 days. So I was at the Kamala Harris rally in Milwaukee Tuesday night, and then at the DNC on Wednesday and Thursday. One event that I went to outside of the DNC grounds that was kind of interesting was panel discussion held by a group called the Next 50. And the Next 50 is a group that focuses on kind of the next generation of Democratic leaders. Mm-hmm. And one of the people on the panel for that was Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer. Greta Neubauer was there. And from Michigan, you might know State Senator Mallory McMorrow was also on that panel. So some really interesting swing state legislative leaders. And I got a chance to sit down with Greta Neubauer and talk about kind of the state of play in the legislature in Wisconsin and in with new maps and what all of this means with a different candidate at the top of the ticket. And I think that was, you know, a really interesting conversation. And she even went as far as to say that she thinks Democrats are going to flip the assembly this year. She even put a number on it. And I asked her if she had a prediction for how many Democratic seats they would have at the end of the election. She said 52. So I think there's a lot of optimism, not only, you know, at the top of the ticket with Kamala Harris, but I think this enthusiasm that you're seeing in the Democratic Party that has just been ignited by this change, I think this is going to really be felt down ballot in a lot of ways too. And I think it's going to matter for Senate races. It's going to matter for congressional races. And in Wisconsin, we have this unique opportunity with new maps falling in a presidential year. You know, turnout's going to be really high. And I think the ground game of these state legislative races in places that have not had competitive campaigns there for a long time, I think that's going to really matter too. You know, one of the examples that Neubauer shared was about Sheboygan. They're really optimistic about the candidate that they have there. I think his name is Joe Sheehan, former school administrator in Sheboygan there, longtime superintendent. And you know, Sheboygan in the past there was just a line right down the middle of the city to make it two red districts. Well, now the city has basically one, toss up district there. So, and I think that is just one example of how we're seeing a lot more energy down ballot with this change at the top of the ticket too. So I think that is, another thing with that, you know, I talked to her on the same day as as Tim Walz's speech, and she talked about having a conversation with Walz in Eau Claire for that rally a couple weeks ago. And, you know, she mentioned she was a state legislator and all that. And he's just like, hey, look, if you have an opportunity, you can do a lot, even with a one seat majority. And I think that is part of the story that people can tell about, you know, about Tim Walz and what happened in Minnesota is they had a one seat legislative majority in their state legislature there. And the amount of stuff that they were able to get passed and get done is really, really remarkable. And I think that is, you know, a conversation that people can be having with voters in these types of elections, that where you get really close to the ground level for issues that really matter for people. And if you show what Tim Walz was able to do in Minnesota when it comes to, you know, all sorts of progressive economic policies, the free school meals, the expanding abortion rights, expanding voting rights, expanding LGBTQ rights. Like, there's a lot that I think will really connect with people in those direct conversations too.
That's a fantastic and positive thing to say. And it really makes me excited because, you know, we like to celebrate on this show when we see bipartisan legislation go through or just work being done in Madison. And that's very, very important. And more happens than we hear about. There's more bipartisan work happening in Madison than we ever hear about. And with new maps and with people, as you said, who now have to run for the seat, because before your seat was just guaranteed. So you didn't have to knock on a door, or make a phone call. You just had to raise the money and win. Now that you have people who want to be, even if they, and they're members of their Democrats or the Republicans, they'll want to do the work together and get things done. There are going to be stumbling blocks. And I don't know if Robin Voss will remain the assembly speaker, but even if Republicans maintain control, it seems like we're on a path of getting more done regardless. Even if they don't take the 52 that's being predicted, I feel like we're at a place where we can really do some good work. And they should also sing the praises when they do, because we don't hear about it enough.
Well, we're going to be in a situation where they're, you know, there might be some actual swing votes in the legislature, right?
What?
You know, you're going to have to speak to policies that, you know, have majority support and actually compete in these districts. And, you know, you might have some Republicans in a swing district, maybe cross the aisle and vote with Democrats on an issue that might have, you know, we've seen so many times, like the universal background checks have 80% support and Republicans won't even allow a public hearing on it. You know, these free school meals things that passed in Minnesota and had this remarkable moment with Walz signing the bill. That bill, a very similar one, was introduced in Wisconsin and couldn't even get a public hearing for that type of bill. So I think, you know, marijuana legalization is another example of stuff that they have passed. So I think there's so many things that speak to the majority that I think can be a story that Democrats running in the state legislature can talk about and have somebody to talk about it with by pointing to Tim Walz and by pointing to what Walz is able to do. And I'll share another Tim Walz related story here. So my college roommate is a political moderate, basically hates both parties. and he's one of these actual swing voters. He was telling me that, you know, he hasn't voted for the same party for president in consecutive elections ever. But he moved to Minnesota not too long ago, and he loves Tim Walz. And he loves Tim Walz because Tim Walz gets stuff done. He's like, some of the stuff that they do might be a little bit left of where I am politically, but I'd rather he get something done that I agree with 70% or whatever than just wait to find the pitch perfect policy that's going to make everybody happy, because such a thing doesn't exist.
So. Well, Dan, we appreciate you joining us as always and giving us the recap. Folks, go to the Recombobulation area, subscribe today, find out all the good news that Dan's reporting on, and we will see you next Friday, Dan, for another edition of the Recombobulationarium, my friend.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Stick close. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back with Sean Fetplace from from Main Street Alliance. Don't go anywhere. You listen to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.